This is going to be fun. It's 7:30 in the morning. Now, I usually teach at 8 o'clock, and I thought that was a challenge. This will be good. We're going to have some fun, but I'm going to really try to get serious with you and talk about some things that I think you can take home and use when you're trying to synchronize and breed cows. That's my ultimate goal, but my method of getting there is going to be to have a good time with you for the next hour and a half. I teach the intro. I won the Animal Science Teaching Award, and I'm very proud of that. I teach a lot of that goes to my students, who are the greatest. I teach the Intro Animal and Poultry Science class. It's the first class students at Virginia take when they come to campus in animal science. So they are green. I mean, they're really green. And most of these kids don't have much farm background. And so, yes, we do start out with this is the head of the cow and this is the tail of the cow and kind of work our way from there. And I teach a graduate level class, which is ironic because it's on the other end of the spectrum in terms of coursework. But I enjoy teaching the freshmen most. And the reason is they're the most enthusiastic. I don't know what it is about education today, but we've done something to dampen people's enthusiasm for becoming educated. But for a freshman, for a while, at first semester especially, they just cut themselves loose and they're ready to go. And I love having them because, I mean, they like learning at that point. And I try to foster that and make it even better. So I'm going to use some of the same tactics that I use with my freshman students. Please don't be offended by that. I'm going to give you some of the same information that I give to my freshman students. And what we're going to do is talk about the estrous cycle of the cow so that you understand it. Okay? And the reason I do this, there's two points. One is, I think that the estrous cycle of the cow is the most important thing to understand in reproduction. If you understand the estrous cycle of the cow, then you understand why the cow comes in heat every 21 days. Or if she becomes pregnant, why she doesn't come in heat every 21 days. If you understand the estrous cycle of the cow, you understand some of the aspects of why it's more difficult to get a bred AI than to just turn the bull out with her. What advantages she has. If you understand the estrous cycle of the cow, frankly, you can understand a lot about embryonic mortality and why cows, that once we do get them pregnant, what happens when they lose the calf and who's responsible, the cow or the calf, the embryo in that case. So I think understanding the estrous cycle is the most important thing you can do to understanding reproduction in beef cows. And it doesn't matter what we're talking about, virgin heifers or postpartum cows, I really feel that's the case. That's item one. And I convince the students of that. I try to. Item number two is that they're uncomfortable with it, okay? They've never talked about hormones like progesterone and estrogen, at least not public, okay? And you know, saying things like vagina is a little difficult for a first semester freshman, okay? Okay, and so what I do in class is I have them say vagina. So we're going to start out and say vagina. Good. Now let's try uterus. Good. Now, clitoris. Oh, you weren't quite so quick on that one. I caught you a little by surprise. Okay, you got the idea? We got to open up here a little bit if we're going to talk about the plumbing and talk about how that plumbing works. So to start out with, I just want to teach you about the estrous cycle. So, Jeff, will you turn the lights down? I'm going to steal some slides from Select Sires to help me to take you through the estrous cycle of the cow. And estrous cycle of the cow is a circular deal. You're all right. Keep working. Don't panic. Now, I told Jasper, if anything goes wrong, who are we going to blame? Jasper. Okay? And he was cool before this thing started. Now he's sweating bullets. Okay? Don't be banging it. Yeah. Let's hear it for Jasper. All things being equal and the cow not being pregnant, the estrous cycle is going to be about 21 days. And it's going to be an event that is governed by what happens on the ovary. Okay? So what I want to do to get you to understand the estrous cycle of the cow is talk about those key events. Now, every day in the cycle is not that important. But there are some days that are more important than others. And as a base, we're going to start here at day zero. And what we'll do is we'll define day zero as the time that the cow or heifer is in heat. All right? And she's showing those familiar signs of heat that we've all seen. What's responsible for the signs of heat is estrogen being released from the follicle. This is a large fluid-filled follicle on the ovary. And inside the developing follicle is where the ovum or the egg is located. But it's actually cells around the edge of the follicle that secrete the hormone estrogen that are responsible for all the signs of heat. The standing that you saw earlier, secretion of mucus from the cervix, a red swollen vulva, and increased nervous activity, bellowing. Those kinds of things that we see as behavioral changes during estrus are all because estrogen is being produced by this large preovulatory, follicle. Now, at the time the cow's in heat, there's a signal sense that causes the release of luteinizing hormone, and that signal is the trigger for ovulation 30 hours later. So the minute the cow comes in heat, that trigger is essentially enacted, and 30 hours later, or the next day, day one, she's going to ovulate the egg into the oviduct that's surrounding the ovary. Meanwhile, this empty follicle is left behind. By this time, the follicle stops secreting estrogen, so the cow no longer stands to be in heat. Okay? that'll keep her from coming back up here and doing more of that. Okay? This empty follicle then is available to become what we call the corpus luteum. So, a summary of events that occur near the time of estrus are the cow comes in heat on day zero because of estrogen being secreted by this large follicle. At the time she first comes in heat, she sends the trigger for ovulation, which is 30 hours later. So she ovulates on day one. That remnant of the follicle that was secreting estrogen now becomes the CL, or the corpus luteum, shown by this yellow structure, that begins to secrete progesterone. If the ovum's released at the time of ovulation, it's picked up by this big open end of the oviduct called the infundibulum. It acts like a funnel. It goes down into the middle of the oviduct. The uterus is actually here at the bottom of the screen. And it sits in the oviduct for the first 4 days. If fertilization takes place, that's where it would take place. Okay? Very soon after ovulation. But let's say this cow isn't been bred, and so she's not going to become pregnant, so we can go through a whole cycle and have her come back in the heat. While that egg is sitting in the oviduct, it's waiting the signal from the corpus luteum, enough progesterone being secreted to tell it to move from the middle of the oviduct on about day four down into the tip of the uterine horn. As the cycle goes along, the corpus luteum, shown by this large yellow structure, becomes larger. It continues to secrete the hormone progesterone. Progesterone secreted by the corpus luteum is responsible for keeping the cow from coming back into heat. So as long as progesterone is present, that embryo has the potential to develop, and the cow is inhibited from developing a new follicle and coming back into heat, an activity that would be detrimental to development of the embryo. However, if the cow's not pregnant, and this one's not, we'd like her to come back into heat so we have another chance to breed her. So on about day 17 or 18 of the cycle, if the uterus is not pregnant or doesn't detect the presence of an embryo, it releases a third hormone, prostaglandin. Prostaglandin released by the non-pregnant uterus is responsible for regressing the corpus luteum. And by regressing the corpus luteum, it causes progesterone to fall and allows that cow to develop a new follicle that could go on to bring him back into heat again on day one. That new follicle secretes estrogen just like it did the previous one did 21 days ago, and that estrogen is responsible for the signs of heat, and our non-pregnant cows return to heat so that we can have another chance to breed it. Those are the events that make up the estrus cycle. Now, if the cow had been bred and had become pregnant, the only difference would be here at day 17 or 18, instead of prostaglandin being released and the corpus luteum regressing, becoming smaller, and a new follicle developing, this corpus luteum would have been maintained throughout pregnancy, and pregnancy would have been maintained and she wouldn't have come back into heat. It's a pretty simple system. Okay? You got it? You think you got it? The guy in the back row that I said you better sit up here in the front row, you got it? Okay, good. Because
Next thing we'll do is have the quiz.
Okay, Bill, pass out the quizzes from the back. Okay, Jasper, turn the lights back up so I can take the quizzes. Actually, you don't have it. Okay, and if you're a freshman student, first semester on campus, you really don't have it. Okay, so, and the reason you don't get it is that when you go out there and look at cows, you can't look at them and go, aha, that one has a day 6 CL. She's secreting progesterone. Estrogen has declined, okay? And she has an embryo that has just reached the tip of the urine horn. You can't see that. You can't see progesterone. You can't see estrogen. I mean, if they got horns, you can see the damn horns. You can decide you got to dehorn them, all right? But you can't see the hormones, and they have trouble remembering that. And you do, too. So what I try to do for the students is build an estrous cycle in their mind. If they can think back and attach it to something that's concrete, they're more likely to remember the estrous cycle. And so what I'm going to do here in front of you at the Cattlemen's College in 2004, sponsored by Pfizer, is try to build an estrous cycle in your mind. And I need 6 of you to come up here and help me. Now, this is the part where everybody goes, man, I think I got something on my shoe. I definitely got something on my shoe. I don't believe he's looking at me because I got something on my shoe. Huh? He's there. Now, the first person that we need to have come up here would be Jasper, don't you think? Yeah. So, Jasper, leave your remote control there. You won't need it for a while. You're going to have to come up here and help me. We didn't practice this, is that right?
No practice.
All right? Okay, so you come right up here on the stage, Jasper. All right. Now, Jasper, do you have any cows?
No, sir.
No cows. Okay. Jasper, have you ever studied the estrous cycle before?
No, but I'm having a cow now.
All right, Jasper, you stay right there. No cabin difficulty here. All right. I need a short person. Who's short and proud of it? 5'8 will do. Come on. Because I'm 5'8 and 3/4. I'm a tall guy. Well, hell, you got boots on. You got at least 8 inches heel. Damn. Yeah, you're a little short. Get up there. What's your name?
Bill.
Bill? That'll be easier to remember. Bill and Jasper. Okay. Good. I need a tall person. Who's tall and proud of it? Oh, yeah, come on up. You, damn, you are tall. And thin, too. Okay. Good, I need a tall guy. Okay. How was your name?
Sonny.
Good to meet you, Sonny. Sonny, Jasper, and Bill. You know, I figured they'd be named Glenn, because Glenn got up there and introduced Glenn, and then Glenn introduced me, and I almost got up and said, hi, my name's Glenn. I get you to come up here. Come on. What's your name?
Sarah.
Come on, Sarah. Okay. We're trying to equal things out here, Sarah. It's a politically correct thing. All right? Step up here. Sarah, Sonny, Jasper, and Bill. All right? I need 2 more people. All right? Go over here, volunteers. That's a bad... You may not want to do this. Would you like to reconsider? Good. Come on up here. What's your name?
Alicia.
Come on up there, Alicia. Okay. I need 1 more person. Big guy in a black shirt. What you got? Come on in.
Ted.
His name's Ted? Come on, Ted. Right. Good. Okay, here we go. Come on up here, buddy. How are you? All right, let's see. I need a short guy right here. Bill, you come down here. Yeah. Alicia, you go way on in. Right? Alicia, right? Okay. Sarah, Sonny, and Jasper. Okay? Jasper, you come right down here. Okay? And Sonny, you go right there. You're the short guy. You 2 trade places. Okay? You gotta get this right. This is what cows do while you're not watching. Okay? Is to get all this stuff right. Now, I want you to stay way over there. Now, you're right here. What are you trying to get in the front for? Okay? Good. Alicia. Sarah, where are you from?
Texas. Originally, I'm from Michigan.
Originally from Michigan. How'd you get to Texas?
I worked for the Red Angus Association.
Oh, no. Michigan State graduate. And I didn't know you before this. Okay, and I just picked you out at random. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. But I will point out that this is a multi-talented position. So I'm very glad to have a Michigan State graduate here to do this. Are you a smoker? No smoker. That's perfect. Okay. If your cows smoke, this thing don't work. All right. Your name's Ted, right? Mm-hmm. Where are you from, Tim?
Kansas City.
You have cows?
Mm-hmm. Well, used to. We sold them this fall.
Sold them? The market's just getting good. And you got out?
Not when your pasture looks like this podium here.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
No stockpile?
No.
Okay. We'll come back to Ted. Where are you from, Bill?
California.
Where about?
Northern, right up on the Oregon border.
What kind of cattle do you have?
Oh, Angus Herbert crosses.
Commercial cows?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody got registered cattle? Well, I know you, other than her. Anybody got registered? Jasper, you got registered cattle? Okay. Sonny, how are you?
Good.
Where are you from?
California. Central California.
Did you go to school out there?
Yes.
How many years ago?
A long time ago.
What school did you go to?
Several different universities.
No one would teach you?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing concrete.
That's what I thought when Glenn was talking. I thought, man, the reason I've been to all those places, they don't communicate. So you can get away with going to the next one because they haven't heard about you from the last.
They don't know you're coming.
Exactly. Jeff! I'm doing good. Okay. You didn't realize you were getting into this, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Are you excited?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. Where are you from, Alicia?
I'm from Utah.
Utah? Oh, yeah. What kind of cow are you?
I'm a student.
You're a student where?
Utah State.
Cool. Why did you come to the NCBA convention?
With the cattle club.
Oh, really? How many of you are here?
11 of us all together, but 6 here.
Only 6? Where'd the other ones go? They are not dead yet. Okay. Where'd you party last night?
They're so sweet.
Oh, okay. We won't go into the party thing. All right. Do you see how she kind of shut up when we got to the party thing? Okay. All right. Now, these people are going to help me, okay? And I got to remember their names. Sarah, Ted, Bill, Sonny, Jasper, and Alicia, okay? Now, they're going to be days of the Exodus cycle. Let me get rid of my little microphone. There'll be days of the Esther cycle. And I'm going to remember the days, but they're going to forget what day they are. So I brought signs. All right? You try getting on an airplane with these. It used to be easy. 9/11 screwed all that up. All right? Wait till it's done, and you'll really see what I have trouble in the airports now. Day 18 of the cycle. Sarah, you're going to be day 18. Now, the little rope on here, that's for a reason. Exactly. Because this is the multi-talent position. You're going to have to do lots of things at one time. Got it? Okay. Ted, you married?
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Your wife here?
No.
Oh, that's even better. Ted didn't realize. We never met before, is that correct?
Well, actually we have.
Actually, oh! We won't be talking about this, eh? Ted didn't realize it when he came here, but he's about to get lucky. Now, I need you to put it around your neck, because you're going to be a little multi-talented here, too. Okay? I need a short guy for day 4 of the cycle, and you'll see why that's the case. Bill, put that around your neck. I need a tall guy for day 12 of the cycle. Sonny, that was you. Put that around your neck. Okay? I didn't need a black guy, but it just worked out that way. Okay? For day 18. And Jasper, you don't realize it, but you're a whole lot like Sarah because you're day 18 too. Okay? You just don't look a lot like that. And Alicia, I hope they brought cameras because you too are going to get lucky. But only if Ted doesn't become pregnant. All right? Cool. Put that on. All right. I got to load up now. This is what it's tough being a cow. You got to carry all this stuff. Okay. Damn. It gets hot being a cow, too. All right. Here we are. Now. We got to start the cycle somewhere. So I try to start the cycle when the last cycle ended. And so the truth is that you and I are not part of that group. And when you look down there, that's not really a bad thing. Okay? We're going to start the next cycle by ending the previous cycle. Okay? The previous cycle ends because the cow's not pregnant. See that? Okay. Yeah, there's other ways of checking, but we're going to just let this suffice. Okay. Because the cow's not pregnant, okay, a new, and this is your part, a new develops. I happen to have one in my pocket. It's a yellow Charlet. Starts out as a small follicle. Becomes a medium follicle. Now, no laughing. This will be an extended cycle if you're not careful. Medium to large follicle, and finally a large follicle. Okay? Now, you have to hold this sign, okay, and be able to go back and forth, because the follicle secretes the hormone. Okay? Good. Estrogen causes... You've got to pass the follicle over to Ted. Don't lose any follicular fluid. Oh, my God.
I got my follicle.
It's a virgin heifer. Follicle secretes the hormone. Estrogen causes the cow to... How do you know she's in heat? No. You all say bull and stands be mounted. You got a bunch of freshmen, okay, that just got there and you barely got vagina out of your mouth. They're not telling you about homosexual cows. Okay? Mounting each other. Mountain's the last thing they come to. You start out with ears erect. Okay? Then you start out with nervous behavior. A bellowing. Okay? Or mucus discharge. It's ugly back there. Don't turn around. Okay? It's very ugly. Okay? You get all those answers first, and then finally, way in the back, somebody goes, stands to be mounted by other cows. Okay? True. Okay? Now, how long is this cow in heat? How long is your cow in heat? Who's got cows? You got cows. How long is cows in heat? 6 to 8 hours or 6 to 8 hours? 6 to 8 hours. Damn, you spend all night out there watching? Do you, yeah, bull? The textbook cow is in heat 12 to 18 hours. Do we have some cows that are only in heat 6 to 8 hours? You betcha. Do we have some cows that are in heat 24 hours? You ever see them in the morning? They're still in heat the next morning? Sure. That's probably your range. It's from 6 to 24 hours. It's a behavior. It's going to differ from cows to cows. Okay? It's going to differ. But there's one thing that's the same. Okay? One thing that's the same. The interval from when they come into heat to when they ovulate is pretty close to 30 hours. Whether she comes into heat and is in heat for 6 hours, or whether she comes into heat and is in heat for 48 hours, or 24 hours. Okay, so, follicle secretes the hormone estrogen. Estrogen causes the cow to come into heat. Cow shows all those signs of heat. There's one more sign that they didn't tell you about. And that is that they wear these little hats. Okay? So you're driving down Interstate 10 towards Los Angeles. You see a cow standing in the field, holding a balloon with a stocking cap on her head, the sign around her neck says, I'm in heat. Slam on the brake. Run to the rancher's door. Knock on the door and say, you got a cow in heat out there. He'll know you've been to Cattleman's College. This cow's, let's say this is a textbook cow, looking like a textbook cow to me. Cow's in heat for 12 hours. Notice it's roughed up tail head. Okay. Cow goes out of heat. 30 hours after this cow first came into heat, she ovulates. Releases the egg into the oviduct. First goes in that big open-ended part of the oviduct called the infundibulum. Okay? Cilia inside the oviduct keep it moving. Okay? And move it right down here to the middle part of the oviduct. And it's just sitting there. Okay. Meanwhile, back on the ovary, these cells that did make up the wall of the follicle and did secrete the hormone now become the or CL. The CL secretes the hormone progesterone. Corpus luteum starts out small. Okay?
You have to stand straight here. This too is a multi-talented spot.
Corpus luteum starts out small.
Notice the VT symbol.
The corpus luteum starts out small. Okay? But by day four, it secretes enough progesterone to signal that embryo or ovum that's in the oviduct to move down to the uterus. Okay? You see this? You are the keeper of the uterus. This corpus luteum that came from the follicle continues to grow. Cells just multiply, more progesterone secreted. By day 12, it reaches its maximum diameter. Still secreting progesterone, still keeping the scalp from coming back into heat. Okay? Now, pass the CL over to Jasper. Now, is this cow pregnant? Cowboy, this cow pregnant? Doesn't look like it. I'm walking around the field going, damn, she don't look pregnant. I bet her 18 days ago, but she don't look pregnant. How come she's not pregnant? Where, what school are you from? Utah State. They had reproduction there yet? Ooh, don't shake your head, yes. Unless you know the answer. Is she pregnant? Has she been bred? No. Is she pregnant?
No.
No possible way. Very good. Let's hear it for the Utah State contender. You see this? This is the look of a non-pregnant child. Am I right?
That's right.
I'm right. So this must be a non-pregnant uterus. And if this is a non-pregnant uterus, it releases the hormone prostaglandin. You got to hold this too. Okay? You get extra credit for this. Okay? These are transfer credits. They work. Okay? Prostaglandin kind of goes like this. Causes the corpus luteum to regress. Drop the ball. If the corpus luteum regresses, what happens to progesterone? Decreases. If progesterone decreases, then a new... I just happen to have one. Ooh, it's going to be a half. A small follicle. Then it starts medium follicle. Medium's a large follicle. Large follicle. Okay? Follicle secretes the hormone. Pass it over to Alicia. Estrogen causes a tattoo. Coming to heat. How do you know she's in heat? Say as the amount. How long is she in heat? 6 to 24 hours, okay? She looks like one of those 12-heat cows. Okay, it belongs to you. 30, she goes into heat, she comes out of heat. Rough up tailhead. 30 hours after she first came into heat and had to trigger for ovulation, she ovulates, releases the egg into the oviduct. Now, is that cool or what? They don't be teaching this at Utah State, do they? I'll give you my card later, you can transfer. Yeah. This little boy right here, he's right now, he's down. He'll be going out. He'll be going. Get his wife getting a pickup. He'll be driving around out there. He'll go, honey, I think I heard her ovulate. All right. Have you got it yet? No, I don't think you got it. I'm looking at your faces. All right. I think the only people who got it is Utah State group. I'm going to do it one more time. Right. She's been in heat once. She ought to be able to do it this time. All right. Good. Hand me that rascal. Keep your sign. Oh, my God, you let it drop, though. It's all right. She came back to me. All right. Good step. Everybody take one step forward. This is going to be faster, okay? Not a lot of zacking around. We're going to do this. All right. Get this. All right. Get this. I'm this. I'm this. Do that. You can just throw that away. Once you've done it, okay? You got over, you can blow some more. Okay? It's cool, isn't it? Yeah? But you run out at some point. Okay? I don't run out. It's a biology thing. I'll explain it later. Alright, here we go. Alright, this and this and this and this. And you got that? Okay? And you're good? And what you do, hat? Is it sitting down there? Okay? Good. Set it on the podium. Okay? Because we're going to do this now. Alright? Because you guys got it, right? Okay, cool. Alright. End of the last slide. Cow's not pregnant. CO aggressive. I knew
this is going to be a very fertile one.
Follicle developed. Large follicles. Secrete the hormone. Pass it over. Okay? Estrogen causes the cow to come into heat. How do you know she's in heat? No. No. She stands to be mounted by the bull. Okay, now, I'd rather breed her AI. We won't demonstrate that, though. Okay. But she stands to be mounted by the bull. Or we deposit the semen AI. Okay. Has she ovulated yet? Now, and this is what's cool. Mother Nature sets up the timing. The cow comes in heat. She stands for the bull, or we see her in heat and deposit semen in the trap. If it's a bull, we deposit 8 billion sperm cells.
Oh, there's sperm cells.
8 billion sperm cells in the vagina. 8 billion sperm cells down here in the vagina. They move up through the vagina. Okay? Through the cervix. Okay? Into the uterine body. Up both uterine horns. Okay? Into the oviducts. And they're sitting there in the oviducts. Has she ovulated yet? No. They're sitting there in the oviducts getting ready to fertilize the egg and they're going, come on, baby! Meanwhile, okay, I'm losing my stuff here. Meanwhile, back on the ovary, okay, cow's been in heat. The cow was out of heat. 30 hours after she first came into heat, she ovulates. Releases the egg into the oviduct. Cilia, move it into that infundibulum, the big open-ended part, down into the oviduct. With a sperm awaiting, going, come on, baby. And then, do you hear that? That's the sound of ovulation. That's the sound of fertilization. You don't want to hear that in a girl's dorm. But it's a good thing here. Okay? This egg is fertilized. Meanwhile, back on the ovary, those cells that did make up the wall of the and were secreting the hormone now become the and secrete the hormone. There's enough progesterone by day 4 to cause this fertilized egg to move down to the keeper of the uterus. Meanwhile, the CL, which started out small, continues to grow, reaches its maximum size by day 12. It's still there on day 18. And now, this cow is pregnant. You see this? This is a pregnant uterus. Okay? As viewed from behind. Does it release prostaglandin? No. So if prostaglandin is not released, what happens to the corpus luteum? It's maintained, passed over to Alicia. Does she come and eat? No. Then the question becomes, how long does this corpus luteum and this embryo stay in place? 283 days, did you're exactly right. Okay? And at the end of pregnancy, the CL has to regress to allow the uterus to contract, and then boom, calf is born. Unassisted. You got any quick questions about the ester cycle? That you'll never see one in front of you again, probably. Okay. If not, give these people, especially Jasper and Ted, okay, and Sarah, who are picked on the most, a big round of applause. Just set them there. Actually, I need to give you this. Here, Dave. Good. Thank you. Thanks, son.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alicia. I'll tell you what. All right. Jasper, can we turn the lights down again? Any questions before we talk a little bit more? Okay. Oops, hit my watch. What I'm about to tell you next isn't going to surprise you. And that is that I lied to you. Okay? I just got a little carried away right there. And I lied to you. The way we made it sound, okay, is that here's your cycle. And once you get ovulation of this follicle, nothing much happens from a follicle standpoint until you get out here to Jasper's day 18, and if she's not pregnant, you develop another follicle. Well, that isn't exactly true. Okay, that's a nice way to simplify it. And in a cycling cow, that simplified model works. But the truth is, there's a little bit more going on during the cycle as far as the follicles are concerned. And you've got to understand this as well as the function of the corpus luteum that we just highlighted in the skit, because that's the way we're going to control the ester cycle and control ovulation. Okay, and so we've got to talk a little bit about this new concept, which has really only been discovered in the last 10 years or so, of follicular waves. Instead of a follicle just developing here at the end of a cycle if the cow's not pregnant, truth be known, there's follicular development throughout the time that the cow's in the cycle. And throughout the time she's pregnant, too. Okay? There's these waves of follicular growth where a bunch of follicles develop, one becomes the dominant follicle and inhibits all the others. If it doesn't go on to ovulate, it regresses, and another wave starts. And those waves are usually about 10 days in length. The follicular waves for a cycle are depicted in this graph. This is the days of the cycle across the bottom, going from an ovulation here to an ovulation here. This would be the size of the follicles. And I showed that right after ovulation on day one, a whole bunch of follicles grow out. These solid bars actually represent about 20 follicles. Out of that group of 20, one of them becomes the dominant follicle, grows up, but because the cow has a corpus luteum and can't come and eat, it just regresses. But notice, when it decides to regress, it takes away its inhibition and allows a new wave to start. 20 follicles arise, one of them becomes the dominant follicle, goes to the end of the cycle, but now, because the cow's regressed to corpus luteum on day 17 or 18, this follicle goes on and is the ovulatory follicle. Okay, so there's always follicular waves going on. The reason that this is important to us if we're going to control the cycle is that if we jump in here at any one point, let's say day 3, we've got a pretty small dominant follicle. But if we jump in here at day 15, we have a pretty large dominant follicle. So if we get rid of the CL and try to get the cow heated any of those times, her response is going to be very different based on what size follicle she has on her ovary. If we can control that, as well as control the corpus luteum, we can very precisely control the timing of estrus and ovulation, and hopefully move closer to a timed breeding situation when we're using artificial insemination. So, gotta understand that there are always follicular waves going on. And in addition to controlling those, we have to control the corpus luteum in an effort to control the estrus cycle. So the rest of my talk, really, is to talk about methods of controlling the estrus cycle. Primarily to facilitate AI, but not necessarily. Okay? Also to just understand what's going on in a non-cycling postpartum cow who starts cycling or doesn't. Okay? To understand some of the barriers that we have to overcome. Now, I have to start this portion of my talk out with an apology. Okay? And there are several guilty parties in the room, as a matter of fact. We have developed, which you are now a member of, okay? You'll be getting mailings every month, which is called Synchronization of the Month Club. Every time you get the new Beef Magazine or the Red Angus Journal, okay, or the Angus Journal, okay, or look in Grover's Journal, there's another article about a new estrus synchronization treatment that some untenured professor at some university has just thought of. My God, there's no way to remember all these things. And they give you the impression, thank you to the press, that this is the nirvana of all synchronization schemes. This is the one that's going to get all your cows pregnant. Right, Glenn? And Glenn? Well, I apologize for this. We did this to you. Okay? We have to publish papers. We have to get tenured. My children have to eat and I need to keep a job. But we've confused you in the process. Okay? And you can't keep up with all these. Okay? And the truth be known, you don't need to. Alright? What I'm going to try to do today is convince you that, and this seems really crazy, because there are at least 20, if not 30, synchronization schemes out there you hear people talk about. All of them involve 3 legal treatments. That's it. Those 20 or 30 are simply different combinations or different timings of those 3 legal drugs to use for synchronization. So what you need to learn is not all these different treatments. You need to learn those 3 things we can do with estrus synchronization drugs, or what I call tools. And if you understand the tools, then you can decipher any of these things that any of these assistant professors come up with. So let's talk about the tools. 3 tools for synchronizing cows. Okay? First tool, and we've had it since about 1978, I think. And it's a Pfizer product. It first came out. Okay? It was actually Upjohn at that time, but they've taken over. Pfizer's taken them over. Lutalyse is a Pfizer prostaglandin product. There are others on the market. Estramate, prostamate. Okay? And these are the first synchronization treatments that we had in the 1970s and later. And we'll talk about how they work. The second tool that we've had, okay, is gonadotropin-releasing hormone, long-term, so we call it GnRH. GnRH comes from a lot of manufacturers, Cisterelin, Factoryl, Fertibil, or Ovisys. They all do the same thing. And so we'll talk about them as GnRH, but know that you can buy any of those and they'll do the same thing. The third tool that you have are progestins. And there are 2 progestins out there. One's a feed additive, MGA, melongestrel acetate. MGA has been around for a long time. It's generally said to feed bought heifers to actually keep them out of heat. Okay? But we've also used it as a synchronization tool by taking it away from heifers. And the newest tool we have is called a CIDR, C-I-D-R. Stands for Controlled Internal Drug Release Device. Okay? And this is also a Pfizer product that just was approved for beef cattle, I guess in the last year now, and more recently for dairy cows. And it's got a remarkable potential in front of it. Now, what I want to do in the next few minutes is focus on these tools. Not talk about OddSync, CoSync, SelectSync, but talk about the tools and what they do. And then we'll talk about some of those systems and see what the tools doing or being expected to do in some of the more popular systems. Start with prostaglandin. It's an old friend. Okay? This prostaglandin that's in either lutalyse, estramate, or prostamate is either exactly the same compound that's produced by this non-pregnant uterus or an analog to it, a hormone very much like it, but maybe not metabolized quite so quickly. So it's going to have exactly the same effects. So when this non-pregnant uterus sitting down here released prostaglandin and it regressed the corpus luteum, that's exactly what prostaglandin out of the bottle, whether it be estramate, prostamate, or lutalyse, is going to do. Prostaglandin, when injected, will regress the CL and essentially cause the things that come at the end of the cycle when it's injected between day 5 and day 20 of the cycle. So I like to use this symbol. It's going to wipe out the CL. If it wipes out the CL, that cow has the potential of being in heat in the next few days. Correct? Cool. Second tool, the gonadotropin releasing hormone, GnRH. GnRH is actually a small protein hormone that's normally released in the cow in the hypothalamus at the base of the brain right when she's first in heat. This is the trigger for ovulation that we talked about. Okay? So when GnRH is released, it goes to the pituitary gland and it does one thing. It causes a luteinizing or LH hormone surge. Now, this gets a little tricky. Here's a tool that depends upon where you are in the cycle as to what it does. Okay? So we have to talk about, well, what does GnRH do when we're in the middle of a cycle and have a CL? Or what does GnRH do if we've regressed the CL with an injection of luteolysis and we've got a cow that's about to come into heat? Let's look at those two situations. The first one, if a cow's got a corpus luteum, then what GnRH does is that it essentially causes follicular turnover. Remember those follicular waves that are always going on? If you give GnRH during the cycle, it's very much like pressing the restart button on the ovary. The follicular waves that are happening essentially come to an end and a new wave starts 1.5 days later. So it's a way to synchronize the follicular waves in a set of cows as you prepare them for synchronization. Works kind of like this. Here's a cow that's in the end of her first wave, okay? But the follicle is still growing. We gave GnRH, and what happens is this follicle regresses, and 1.5 days later, a new group of about 20 follicles starts growing. From this group will come a follicle that goes on and becomes the dominant follicle, like the first wave dominant follicle. So what we can do is treat all the cows today, and 7 days from now, they'll have a follicle that looks very much alike from cow to cow to cow to cow to cow to cow. So then if we regress the CL, they should come into heat at about the same time. Very cool. Very cool. The second thing that GnRH can do is when there's no CL. You've either given prostaglandin to regress the corpus luteum and it's gone and she's trying to develop a follicle and come and eat, or we're just at the end of the cycle. Either situation. In this case, when you inject one of those GnRH products, it causes ovulation of the follicle. So it's like pushing the ovulation button instead of the restart button. Okay? And so if you push the ovulation button by giving a cow who's already had prostaglandin a shot of GnRH, she'll ovulate 30 hours later. You've controlled the time of ovulation. So GnRH is a more complex tool in that it depends upon whether she's got a CL, in which case will cause follicular turnover in a new wave, or she doesn't have a CL, in which case she'll have a large follicle and will cause it to ovulate 30 hours later. A third tool are the progestins. They're old and new. MGA was discovered way back in the late 40s and early 50s. It's been around, but most of the feedlot heifers out of heat. We're using it as much, well, not as much, but we're using it today as a tool, as a progestin, to put something like progesterone into the cow's system and then take it away by stopping the feeding. A cedar works in a similar way. A cedar, for those of you who may not see one, it's just a small plastic device that looks like this. Okay? And it winds up, goes into the vagina of the cow, springs open, and remains in the vagina with its little tail sticking out. When you want to stop the progestin administration, you simply go up, grab the tail, and pull the cedar out. Okay? It's as simple as that. So it's like MGA and it delivers the progestin. It's unlike MGA in that we can get it out of there faster and maybe control the timing of it a little better. Both of them do the same thing. They act like what I call an artificial CL. You know, as long as that cedar is in place, it's like the cow is in the middle of her cycle. When you take it away, you set up a scenario that's like the end of the cycle. And the same thing is true with MGA or known gastrol acetate. So I use this little symbol, keeping them out of heat, for those cows that are on it, progestins, and go off. Okay? Pretty simple, isn't it? You know, next time you read those magazines and somebody comes up with a new 60-40-20 sink, okay, or kitchen sink, or whatever they want to call it, then go, this can't be that tough. because it only involves these three tools. Prostaglandin, which regresses the CL. GnRH, which either pushes the restart button if it's in the cycle, or pushes the ovulation button if the cows had prostaglandin and are about to come into heat. And progestins, which keep the cow out of heat, act like an artificial CL until you take them away, and then it's like the end of the cycle. Got it? Pretty simple, isn't it? Amazing. We sit around at our desk, drink coffee, right, Glenn? Okay, and think stuff up to how to combine these things, okay, to try to confuse you. It's a great game. All right, let's put these to work. Any questions about our tools before we put them to work in three scenarios? Okay, go ahead. The cedars, it's not a difficult question. Okay, even with the Pfizer guy sitting in the back, it's not a difficult question. Here's the deal. There's no way, and I'm going to be honest with you, and the Pfizer guy's going to love it. The progesterone is in this silactic that's on the outside. Okay? You put it in the cow's vagina, the fluids within the vagina impregnate, get in that, come out, and there's an equilibrium developed with the progesterone. It goes into the bloodstream that's used by the cow. Alright? When you pull it out, there's still progesterone in there. There's residual progesterone. So if you cleaned it appropriately, which is a real difficult thing to do, okay, put it into another cow, then it would release progesterone in that other cow. But there would be less. Do you follow me? And then if you happen to try to use it a third time, there'll be even less. Okay? We've studied this to see how many times for 7 days you can put a cedar in and have it keep a cow out of heat. And the answer with the cedars that are produced in the United States is 4 times. But each time they released less progesterone. And so, remember how we talked about the importance of timing when you pull this out, progesterone goes down? The timing of events changes each time. We don't know much about using these. You reuse cedars when we're trying to control the timing, especially for timed ovulation programs, and they're a second or third or fourth use receiver. Okay? But I'm going to show you a system here where you do reuse them once. And I think that's a positive thing. It cuts down your cost, and it's also a great way to improve your chances in an AI program. Okay? So let me come to that, and then if you still got questions, come back and ask again. The hardest thing in that deal is I worry about going from cow to cow and carrying something from one cow to the other cow. So getting those clean is a real, real issue. Okay? Somebody else has a question.
Some of your comment
about showing the rate of cycle explains how quick the follicles are spring coming out short. It does. Isn't it amazing? My cows, when they short cycle, they often short cycle right in that 10 to 12 day time frame, which is right when that first wave is coming. And if there's no CL that's developed, you know, if Bill wasn't doing his job here and having that little CL become the big CL, that's when you're going to get your next heat, is when that next follicle gets to the point of being an ovulatory follicle. So not too surprising, is it, that now that we know what's going on in the ovary. I agree. Okay, let's put this to work. First question I asked was, what's the most popular synchronization treatment across the whole United States for heifers? Okay, this should have been on the quiz. Hopefully, this is the answer that you would have put. MGA prostaglandin system. Okay? And it is the one by far that's been used most, and it's the one, in my opinion, by far that's been the most consistent or the most fail-safe of all the systems that have been used to breed heifers. Let's look at it and talk about our tools and how they're working here. It's a 33-day system, which is a little bit of a difficult thing because we're all procrastinators and we wait too long. Okay, but you got to plan ahead. It starts out with a 14-day feeding of MGA. That's our artificial CL. By feeding MGA for 14 days, can any of the heifers come into heat during that time? No. We're inhibiting heat in everybody. But they should be coming into heat, right, if they're cycling? So we're holding them. When we take the MGA away at the end of 14 days, about 4 days later, those heifers that we've held will be in heat. And during that 7-day period, those heifers that normally would have been in heat during that time are going to be in heat. So most of them are in heat right about 4 days after we pull the MGA. Well, why not just breed them? And the answer is it's an infertile heat. Anytime you use a progestin, it doesn't matter whether it's a cedar or MGA, to hold cows for more than a week, the ovum that they ovulate is going to be less fertile than one that just happens spontaneously. So you skip this week. All you do is use it to set up your single prostaglandin injection that's coming 19 days after you stop feeding. Well, if they were in heat 4 days after you stop feeding, and you wait 19 days, then 19 minus 4 is 15 days. They ought to be on day 15 of the cycle, right? Way out here, about between Sunny and Jasper, with a big old juicy CL. What's the prostaglandin injection going to do to that big old juicy CL? It's going to regress it. And you're going to bring that cow in heat, heifer in heat, very consistently. So you set the heifer up to be the maximal responsiveness to prostaglandin. You heat check and breed, and you get excellent fertility. The heats are spread out because you haven't controlled the follicles. Do you see that? You've only used two tools here. You use the artificial CL, or the progestin tool, and you use the prostaglandin CL regression tool. Did you ever control the follicles? No. So you still got variability in your follicles, and as a result, you get heats that are spread out from 3 to 5 days. You can't time breed effectively when they're that spread out in their heat response. But you can heat check for a short time and breed each cow at their optimum time, and those heifers have outstanding fertility. Now, what should you expect? Your expectation or your pregnancy rates is a product. How many did I get in heat? What percentage times what percentage conceived when I bred them 12 hours after I saw them in heat? That equals your pregnancy rate. Well, this is a great treatment. You're going to get 85% or more of the heifers to exhibit estrus. It's done that consistently around the country. With a high estrus response, you also get a very high fertility or conception rate. 60% is modest with this system. It's often better than that. So if 85% were to come in heat and 60% of those get pregnant, your pregnancy rate has got to be better than half the heifers in your group. That's what I use as an expectation for an MGA prostaglandin program in heifers. And consistently we reach that. And I'm going to convince you of this by showing you some data that I didn't go hand-pick. I sat in my office and I said, okay, I'm going to go to my literature and I'm going to find the first 10 trials that I can find with MGA prostaglandin. I'm going to share the results with you. And these are the first 10 trials I found. No hand selection involved here. The first one was done in West Virginia, 404 heifers. I didn't know there were that many heifers in West Virginia. Okay? They synchronized them all. 91% response, so that was the percentage in heat. Excellent fertility. 63% of those 404 heifers got pregnant. Two trials that were done in Kansas, a big trial and a little trial. Both of them, over 50% pregnant after the MGA prostaglandin. Four trials in Missouri. Heat response varied from 84 to 99%. Pregnancy varied from 59 to 72. But it was consistently over that half figure. Kentucky, 61% pregnant. Nebraska, 51% pregnant. Colorado, 57%. What's my point? All of these are quite acceptable. There's no reps here. This system is less prone to reps than any other system for breeding heifers that we've had in our hands. And that's why I think it's so popular. It's certainly not easy. It's 33 days long. It's easy for heifers because they're on feed. You put the MGA in their feed and it works pretty good. It doesn't work so great for cows. It's harder to get cows, especially when they're on pasture in the spring, that consume the MGA. It's 33 days long. There's a lot of cows that haven't calved 33 days prior to the breeding season, and many that have just calved. It's not a great system for cows. Okay? It would work, but it's not a great system for cows. Okay? Shoot. No, it's breeding by heat, okay, because of the spread out in the heats. You didn't do anything to control ovulation, so if you time bred these by trying to pick one time, you're going to lose 10 to 15% pregnancy rate probably. It's not a time breeding system. Okay, so if this isn't good for cows, what's the treatment of choice for cows? Well, there's lots of them. One thing you don't want to do is get the idea that there's only one synchronization system that will work for you. A lot of these will work in a lot of different situations. But I'm going to give some people some credit, one of whom is not me, okay, for a study that they just did using cedars. Cedars are going to be awfully good for postpartum cows. That artificial CL concept is really going to help us. Okay? So what they did, and there are people from, I think, a bunch of different land-grant universities and some experiment stations, and one AI study. University of Illinois, Purdue, Kansas State, Minnesota, Montana Experiment Station, Ohio State, Tennessee, and Select Science. They went into a bunch of herds all across the country and tried five different cedar-based programs. All five treatments were tried in all locations to try to find the one that was best. When the data came back, about four of them worked reasonably well. One didn't work so well, but there was one that was like the MGA prostaglandin program and that was consistent. It was never the worst. It was never the worst in any of the locations. And it was more often the best than any of the other treatments. And so it's the one I want to talk about. I don't want to steal their research, but I want to show you how using all the tools we talked about can set you up to do a good job with postpartum calves. Here's the treatment. And God knows we don't need another name, but it's called Hybrid Sync Plus Cedar. Pretty catchy. Give GnRH. At the time, you put cedar in place for 7 days. When you take the cedar out, give prostaglandin, our third tool. So, boom, put the restart button, put in an artificial CL, regress the CL, then detect heat so that you breed the cows at the optimum time. Heat detection and breeding 12 hours later is as good as we can get. So they do that for 72 hours. Then any cow that hasn't responded by 72 hours, at 84 hours, they give her a second shot of GnRH, push the ovulation button, and dump semen in her. Probably not $100 semen, but they get semen in her and give her a chance to become pregnant. Okay? Boom. Restart button, artificial CL, regress the CL. Breed them when they're in heat. 12 hours later, boom, push the ovulation button and put semen in there to give them a chance. Now, it's an expensive program because there's lots of drugs. You got two GnRH injections on some cows, one on most of them. You got a cedar, and you got a prostaglandin injection. So you're looking at a $15 plus investment, okay, on every cow using this deal. But it works remarkably well. Here's the results that they've reported. First, what percentage came in heat during that 72-hour period after they pulled the cedar and gave prostaglandin? 2/3 of them. Now, that may not sound like those heifers, it was 85, but remember, these are cows with calves sucking on them. You hear that sound? That's not a good sound from a cow coming into heat standpoint. Okay? They didn't have to raise them damn calves, this would be easy. They weren't all cycling. Okay? But we jump-started some of them with the cedar, induced estrus, using that artificial CL, and others that were cycling, we controlled their cycle. So we got 2/3 of them to be in heat. 307 out of 455 in all those locations. How was their fertility? Very good. 67% AI conception rate. So if we bred them, we had a 67% chance, after they were in heat, of getting them pregnant. That means that for the cows that were in heat, we got 206 of those 455 pregnant. Cool. Very cool. Now, what about the ones that didn't come in heat? We want to give them a chance in this program. So after 84 hours, we push that ovulation button, give them another GnRH injection, and put semen in them. That was 148 cows that didn't come in heat. Of those, we had a 41% AI conception rate. Much lower than the cows that came into heat. Makes sense? You betcha. Because of these 148, we tried to force them to ovulate. We're forcing them to go. Well, some of those cows just aren't going to turn them. All right? We aren't going to turn them. I was pretty excited by this fact that of these ones that didn't respond in 3 days, we got 41% of them pregnant. That's, in my mind, pretty successful. Those are cows destined to be lost and not have a chance. So, of the cows that didn't become pregnant, we got another 61 pregnant. So, 206 pregnant from